Welcome to Starfleet Nerds On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SFB Online Fed Come Online and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, I have joined us by TalkCast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call ID is 17702, or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. Search for colleague 17702, or you can search for Starfleet Universe On Call or SFU On Call. You should find us there. But if you want the ultimate experience for Starfleet Universe On Call, you would want to go over to twitch.tv. Yes, go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call, and you'll find us there. You'll find the chat room. You'll see my lovely face as I broadcast this wonderful podcast every Thursday night, except for when we don't. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter, it's also sfuoncall. I have a personal account, which is Paul France, PaulFranz. Kind of quiet these days, given that most of my traffic is over on Mastodon. And also, I have France Games, where you can follow that account, and that's where I announce things like what's happening on Starfleet Warlord and SFB Online and FedCom Online. So follow them if you want to do that. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Captain's Log number 52 is now available on the e-tailers. Yes, Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru RPG, and War Game Vault is available on all three sites. So if you want an electronic version of that, of the Captain's Log, you now have it available to you. I will probably bring a copy to replace the copy which I gave away. And just a reminder that ADB is closed. Right now it's closed. It'll be closed until January 3rd. Obviously, this is going to be a little late. For some people, you know, if you're listening to this on the 3rd, well, obviously they're reopened by the 3rd. So the Tuesday the 3rd, they reopen from their winter break. ADB is also, the announcement they made this past couple weeks is that the next FedCom book will be Gunboats Attack. And they're working on that now. Actually, Steve said he's been working, he's gotten quite a few of the ships done, which is awesome. But currently there's no release date. They have not announced one yet. So just keep an ear out for that. And at the very least, I will try my best to keep an eye on the progress of said product. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournament. Of course, the Sapphire Star 12 tournament has gotten to the finals. And that's, right now, it is Stephen McCann versus Daniel Bitsoff, I think it is. I think I got that right. They've played 4 turns so far. They're both down a lot of shields. Steve McCann, flying the Wind Ox, has the right side shielding still pretty pristine. Also, the Ox box has got 15-ish internals after repairing a couple of Phaser 3s down, a couple warp, Phaser 3, Phaser 1, and the drone. And the Gorn, which Daniels is flying, has seen both heavies from the Ox, and Gorn has 4 internals all hulled. So, at the moment, when it comes to damage, obviously, the Gorn is head in that category, but it's too close to call for anyone. You know, come on, 10 internals. Yeah, it got some warp, got some power there, got some weapons, but there's still a lot of game to be played. Onward to the online client stuff. Actually, I did do a little work on fixing. There was an issue. And if you run into this, you know, there is a workaround. That is, if you use the search box to find the ship that you're looking for, you can add one ship, and if then you go searching again for your second ship. it will use the first ship's SSD. So basically, even though in the screen it might have a selection for a certain ship, like the ship that you want, behind the scenes, it still hasn't been reset. So I've fixed that so that in the next release, that will be fixed. My fix is to unselect it so that when you select it again, because the problem is the selection stays selected when it really shouldn't, I think. So I unselect it so there's no selection when you start searching again. And then you click on it, you click add, or you double click, whatever. And now I'll add the proper one at that point. So keep an eye out for the release, because actually I should be doing a release early next year. Because I'm also working on another thing I'm working on for the client is I'm working on an updated server, a new server, which is going to instead of being using IRC as its back end, a modified IRC server, I'm going to be basically having a more targeted approach for a game server, which I've created myself. It won't have all the IRC commands, so there's some things that people are going to lose, and I'm sure people are going to complain about that. And I can update the server and the client to help support that. But until we get to that point, I'm still working on that. I'm getting the interface set up so I can actually test it with an actual client. At the moment, I've done some quick tests. It does everything it's supposed to do. It works good, but I haven't connected up to the client, and that's the work I've been doing as of late. So let you know that's something that is being worked on. Also, the Lyrans. Let's move on to the Starfleet Warlord first, and that is the website has been fixed, so you now can log into your account and do what you need to do there, whether it is to submit a game, for new game orders, or you can also in that website now submit payment and so forth using PayPal. It's all connected in there if you want to use that. So that is fixed for those people playing Starfleet Warlord. And last but not least, the library port. The Lyrans have been updated, and it looks like the Lyrans have an issue, because I actually got a bug report. I have not had a chance to look into that bug report, but I will be hopefully fixing one of the Lyrans. The TGC has an error, according to somebody. I have not had a chance to read the actual report yet, because I was working on the issue with the enhancement and trying to get the game server all up and ready. I wanted to get it done for my winter break from my day job, but that didn't come to fruition. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, Simon L. Paul, welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, we have got ourselves quite a party going on. We've got Barry Kirk. How you doing, Barry?
Hey there.
We got Jeff. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. Good evening. From South Dakota.
And Doug, how you doing, Doug?
I'm doing here. I'm here. That's about it. How are y'all?
Awesome. South Dakota is a beautiful state, by the way.
It is. Yeah. But being a truck driver, I get up here all too infrequently. Usually I'm over in Wyoming and Colorado this time of the week.
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, not too slouch either. Those are both also beautiful states.
Yeah, that's why I love running out west.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear
the pheasant hunting is good in South Dakota.
So I've been told. I don't get to do much hunting anymore. That was a young man's thing for me.
Well,
what's the topic tonight, Paul?
Well, that is always the ultimate question, is it not?
Yes, and it's one that we have every week, so we should have experience with it.
What was that, Barry?
Hey, Paul, since you're like on the spot, have you seen the schedule, and is it okay for you for Gamers of Winter?
No, I have not. I said I'm coming. Oh, not
all right. I updated the events page today.
Okay.
Which included basically getting rid of all of last year's stuff. I left yours on there from the last time, because it kind of seems to be about the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically that.
Okay.
But I left yours up there, and, you know, if it's fine, let me know.
Okay.
And for those of you listening who don't know, Gamers of Winter is a small gaming event, South Central Pennsylvania, Harrisburg area. We'll be just east of Harrisburg on Route 22 in the suburbs of Harrisburg at a place called the Your Turn Cafe. We're basically renting their building for the weekend and Monday of the Martin Luther King weekend. If we got enough players, we could have a nice SFP event, but who knows? We have other things to do there, too. So there's that.
I will be there all 3 days. My wife is probably or possibly going to be there one day. But we're not sure which of the 3 days, so I don't know how to buy that ticket for her, or can I just pay an amount and we'll figure it out later?
It's literally on the thing. It's a one day. There's a listing for each combination of days you can do. You can do one day for any of the 3 days, or combinations of, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Right. But in other words, if I buy her a ticket now, and let's say she decides on that weekend, Saturday's not working, but Sunday will work, or Sunday's not working, or Monday will work, but she won't
go
until the weekend.
In that respect, it's a small event. We're not a huge corporate thing that says, no, I must suck as much money out of you as possible. God, have you not learned that in 14 years of me running this thing?
I know.
Gosh, not within arm's reach over the phone. Yay, thank you. yes, that's basically it. We're flexible on that stuff. The only thing we're not that flexible on is a general no refund policy on the pre-registration. So if you register for a day on pre-reg and she decides not to go that day, we thank you for your donation. It will be helpful towards our next event. That's basically it.
Meaning, basically, if she doesn't show up,
sense.
You know, you don't get your money back. But if she doesn't come, if you buy it for Saturday, then you can come on Sunday. She can come on Sunday instead of Saturday, and that'd be fine.
So. Yeah, I mean, if you buy a ticket for her for Saturday, and she's a no-show for Saturday, we can let her in Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
My big question is, did you have anything in particular in mind for her? Because I don't know what her attendance is going to be like this time.
I don't know.
Blank. You know.
Yeah. Whatever she's going to probably look and say, oh, that looks like an interesting game, and get involved in that. I do know that she had a lot of fun a couple of years back playing Dominant Species, of which I have a copy, and I will bring a copy.
Are you in contact with Eric at all?
Didn't you win?
I have n- no, I haven't talked to Eric since the last time I saw him at Gamers.
Okay, because kitty cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in frequent contact with him, and I don't know if he's coming up or not. But I think that, and I think, I know several people probably have that are coming. Trish probably has it. But I'm not sure. She hasn't said what she's doing yet. If anything.
What about Fritz?
I haven't heard from him.
I'll give Fritz a call. I'll see if I have Eric's number. And if I do, I'll give him a call.
Be awesome. I am all for drumming up, come out here, and people sharing links and stuff like that. So if, you know, you have a Facebook account and you happen to be able to look at the thing, you can share it.
I have a phone number for Eric. I don't know if it's current, but it is a phone number. So
okay.
I will give him a call. And I do know Fritz's number, so I will give him a call.
Yay! Just for those of you who might be like thinking about coming from out of town or not, we have no really close by hotels. I just want to let you know that for this particular event. You know, the nearest hotel or motel is going to be like at least a mile away. And the similar thing for like all the fast food places. However, the Your Turn Cafe is actually a fully functional restaurant, and they said they will run the kitchen for us during the weekend. And bear in mind, we're going to be open, I believe, much longer hours than they normally have, and it's basically a closed event. So it's not like, you know, Joe X and his family are going to walk in to have dinner right next to your game. That's pretty much not going to be happening. They'll walk in and they'll pay for our badge, and then they can go eat dinner. But it's literally a closed event. We're renting the place for the weekend. And depending on how much we have in the pre-reg numbers, it gives us an indication so that they can prepare. The restaurant itself is looking at potentially putting up a buffet setup. That would be, you know, an extra buffet fee for, you know, the
right.
food part. But something where you can just kind of graze all day instead of, like, having to order. So there's that. For those of you who like to graze.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, a lot of people.
You got a site that doesn't
involve with Facebook?
Yeah. It's called gamersofwinters.net.
I was just wondering if you had a website that wasn't on Facebook for those of us that are Facebook phobic.
Yes, he just said that. Gamersofwinter.net, all one word, just like that.
Okay.
And, you know, that's actually where the pre-registration is. The Facebook group is actually pretty large for the area, I think. And
gamersofwinter.net. Now, why did you pick that instead of, well, what about Gamers of Summer? Is that going to be a gamersofsummer.net too?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just gamersofsummer.net.
Yeah, he's got two different websites.
I see that. Means I need to add two bookmarks.
Those are the two websites. It's like some of the websites on my internal to Oracle, you know, to my day job. But I don't have bookmarks. I just memorize the URLs and type them in. Because they're so simple to memorize. So those are the ones like, why have a bookmark? Because Lord knows I'd have way too many bookmarks. if I memorized every single website. If I didn't memorize some websites, which were kind of obvious, you know. Or
what's the average attendance been, particularly pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, we were getting around 80 in the wintertime, and around 60-something in the summertime. And our peak that we had is like 110, I think, over 110. And that was out in Grantville.
Right.
So.
Are you expecting, what, about half that this year?
If I get half that this year, I'd be happy. But, yeah, I'm expecting about that. There is a significantly large D&D contingent that comes in as a group with like three or four tables that they run. And they've been consistently about a third to half of our attendees, but they've been like I said, consistent over the years. We haven't had enough SFB players at one time to run a tournament, but we do have people that are familiar with SFB and the SFU come in and do other stuff, like, you know, the board gaming aspect.
Yep, that's very true.
I would love to see. And this, if you play F&E and you want to have a nice weekend setup, you can do that at this one, because this isn't a. This isn't like a big, huge meeting room in a hotel where they may or may not be good about keeping the door shut and not letting people in. Had adventures with that over the years. But the venue will be locked around our event. So if you want to play a weekend of, you know, basically F&E, if you wanted to do an F&E campaign that takes 2.5 to 3 days, you could do it and not have to worry about your stuff getting messed with overnight. So there's that.
If only you guys were a little closer to Arkansas.
It's only a 24-hour drive, and it can be made in 17. Trust me.
Well,
on that.
You know, the thing
is
that I do have a car. I will buy my own gasoline, but you know, I do short of 6,000 miles every 11 days, and then I take 3 off. It's just a little hard to do. So I'm about to come off of one, and I'd not get home in time to head out for Pennsylvania for this one if I'm looking at the calendar right.
Yep.
So I was like. It sounds a wonderful thing. I hadn't been to a group like this in a number of years, so not since RockCon bit the dust in the 90s.
What?
Actually, I read
us.
Well, go ahead.
Huh. Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, if you do fly, I'll be happy to pick you up at the airport.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Sure, there's only like several SFP players begging you to come. Nah, that's you're good. This is one of those things that it takes some. It does take a little bit of like significant ahead planning, vacation wise. But it's like this. We run it every Martin Luther King weekend in the wintertime. So it's like really a non-competitive thing as far as other events of its type go. There's all, you know, there's like not that many events like this in the middle of the winter. But once you know about it, it's there. So I croak or something.
Well, the other
there's that.
The other thing that would bring me to Pennsylvania happens in August.
Really?
That's a different. That's the Penzic War. The big SCA event up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what that is.
A lot of people in that hobby consider that being the grand pilgrimage every participant needs to make at least once, just like people say you need to go to Gen Con at least once, and so forth.
Yeah. But, how close is that to, like, I know about it, I just don't attend it. How close is that to Labor Day weekend, because that's when we've done the summer event. That's usually a Labor Day weekend thing.
The schedule's been fluid recently because of COVID, but typically there is a pre-war week where the merchants and the artisans all can show up early, get their encampments established and everything. It's like the second week of August. The war starts. It's typically the third week of August, and it's all done in time to start school. So it's over and done with before school starts, which is the way they've been scheduling. Sort of the last hurrah of summer for school-age children.
Understood.
And for those who have kids.
Yep. I've got kids, but they're all grown up.
Yeah. Want some more?
No.
For those of us who do not have PayPal anymore, how do I pay for it? Any credit card, I will do that.
Any credit card should work. I mean, it's like, but although my thing is through PayPal, it's they accept most major credit cards and debit cards. So.
Yeah, but you have to create a PayPal account?
They take cash at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I closed my PayPal account.
Yeah, well, you don't need PayPal to actually register for the event. Any credit card or debit card will do. Yeah.
Just be sure you pay careful attention to pre-checked check boxes, because PayPal will try very hard to open an account for you very helpfully.
Okay, so you can't pay without actually creating an account. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to create an account with them. You do not. You literally not need a PayPal account. Like I said, any credit or debit should work for the button, which is the function of PayPal.
Yep.
The collection of money. I know some of us do not like PayPal because of some things they did recently.
That's why I closed my account.
I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
I can understand that. That's your, go for it, Barry.
Well, they basically said that there are certain things that if you decided to make donations to certain causes or groups, they were going to deduct $2,500 from your account just because.
No, not from your account, from your linked bank account. Yeah, they would go after your linked bank accounts. It wasn't just your balance, your PayPal balance. They said, yeah, it wasn't just they would go after it as a collectible debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that ended very quickly.
Yeah. And there was a massive outcry, and they said, oops, it was just a mistake. We didn't really mean to say that. And it's like, nah.
Oh, no, they meant it.
Oh, I know they meant it.
And
I think somebody actually reminded them that if they actually did try to enforce it and lawyers got involved, there's this thing called discovery that could be very ugly for them.
Well,
it just depends on who's running the show for the aggrieved party.
Well, that plus I think they're also violating people's constitutional rights, civil liberties, and it's just a lawyer feast that they do it.
Yep.
If they continued with it, it's like it was probably just an incredibly stupid idea that somehow managed to get implemented, and then as soon as their own lawyers looked at it and said, this is a total can of worms, you better just close the lid on that right now. And it did.
And lots of people said, fuck you, PayPal, we're closing our accounts. And they did.
Thank you, Barry.
There's that, too. I mean,
what's that?
Please don't use that kind of language on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
He shall be beeped in the rebroadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Probably.
What you going to do about it?
We'll do extra work. Why don't you? Have to figure out how to beep you. That's very beepingly bad.
It was profanity, not blasphemy. It's not so bad.
Understood.
Blah, blah, blah.
Understood, but...
All the rules. All the broadcasts.
Yeah. In other words, I have to mark it, if I use foul language like that, I have to mark it as explicit, too. So.
Keep it out. Keep it out. Make people guess.
You might, yeah. Of course, at this rate, considering all the spicy topics here, he might just say, let's just delete this whole section.
Nah.
Might be a short podcast.
Well, as I was saying, there's that. You pretty much can pay with any credit card or debit card because it's PayPal. You don't actually need an account. They're a button function company. And this is a non-political thing, so there's that. Which is another thing. Just for those of you out there who may not want to attend these kind of things, for various reasons, our mask policy is optional, and we're a non-political event. So basically, politics is left at the door. Gaming is the focus of the event. That's something I've explained explicitly to people in the past.
Now you know that I'm a big proponent of the Star Kingdom of Man, of course, so I may be pushing their political agenda.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I am a.
Well, made me start my own kingdom. Of course, you know, if any of our, other SFU players out there want to have something specifically done, my suggestion is sign up, say you're going to run or host the event, and contact friends, pals, and buddies that are in the general area. We're incredibly accessible from most of the East Coast. Or to put it another way, like Historicon and a few other conventions are held down in Lancaster, which is not that far away. And if you're coming from New York, New Jersey, West Virginia, anywhere, west of Pennsylvania, it's about the same doggone distance for you. That's basically it. Okay, I'm about petered out on that topic unless anyone has any questions on it. I'm sure everybody else in the chat is probably going, talk about SFB, god darn it. Yes, I narrowly avoided getting beeped, I'm sure.
Yes.
Naughty, naughty, you'll get caughty.
Well, there you were using blasphemy, not profanity, Doug.
Oh, yes, but I also changed the bad part of it the last second.
Gosh darn it.
Exactly.
That's a useful skill to have. Would you want to swear like a sailor and there are children present?
Oh, no, the kids, where do you think kids learn that stuff from?
Yeah, Doug.
Their parents, not just... Exactly. My kids occasionally tell me, Dad, Mom, Dad's cussing again. Yeah, get used to it. Go in the Army someday, or the Air Force, or the Navy, or whatever, and yeah, you'll be just right at home. So.
Yes, I do remember the Army teaching me the resistor color codes.
Okay.
Must.
Yeah, there was a little city that had.
No,
I won't do it. But there was a little ditty that they used. You know that ditty, then.
I have heard it. It is not little ear friendly.
Yeah, you've heard it a time or three. No. That it is not.
Then don't repeat it.
The colors are black, the colors are black, brown, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, gray, and white.
And they correspond with a numerical value, which allows you to calculate the value of a resistor based on the color bands on the little, on the ceramic piece between the metal leads. And people have come up with some very creative and very lyrical profanities to try to help remember what those colors are and what the values are.
Yeah. My sergeant in the Army in electronics school had fun with that one.
Yeah, it's just like what us truck drivers do when people start asking what the various trucking companies' names mean.
Yeah, that's pass on that one. But anyhow, let's get something at least closely related to SFB. At least more than what we've been talking about for the past 30 minutes. Just a reminder.
You need a review, a refresher on the. Go ahead.
What? Okay. That is that for those of you who do play SFB and want to be part of what David Chang has been trying to promote for the past few months by sending to posting in different places and sending out emails and so forth, which is the Big Bang Blowout SFB tournament, which he's trying to organize for 2024. Because since there seems to be no momentum for 2023, and it's like, okay, and that's fine. But definitely you're going to need to contact David Chang. Okay, I'm just double checking on. Okay, kids, email address is dave@sw-gaming.org. If you want to contact them, if you want that email address yourself and you didn't hear that, obviously you can reach out to me at sfuoncall@gmail.com and I'll be happy to forward that to you. I can even forward you the original email. And he basically wants to know if he could get some commitments for people to actually come, he said it's going to be probably the summer of 2024. Well, he said, while the patrol tournament will be a centerpiece, they want to offer other SFU games too. You got SFU scenarios, one big FNE game, also ACTA, Starfleet, call it ARMS, and also FedCom and other, even Prime Directive if people want to do that. But the centerpiece is going to be an SFB tournament. And he's hoping to get a number of people for that one last hurrah when it comes to a large SFB tournament, and so hopefully
that would be of interest to me. I don't know what my schedule is going to be. I'd have to have a little advance warning.
Right. Oh, understood. And I'm assuming he did not say. But the event will probably several days, probably five, maybe seven. I don't think seven, five. I can see three. I think is more reasonable, but he's shooting for five. Location is still to be determined, but certainly somewhere in the USA. It's like, okay, we'll look for those committed to attend, and we'll pick a hotel location to maximize travel ease. Basically. For those people who said they'll definitely come, that means that if number of people, a lot of people from like New York, Albany area, if most of the people are gonna be, most of the people are from there, they're gonna be having closer to like Albany, or if there are a lot of people in Florida, you know, it's going to be, they'll probably try to get closer to Florida. Maybe not in Florida, but definitely closer to Florida. I'm assuming that he would want to hopefully get something that's not in the extremes. Like if there's a collection of people in like New York City or something like that, you might not have it in New York City, but
stay away from the city. Oh my God.
Harrisburg is fairly easy for a lot of people on the East Coast to reach. I'm just saying.
I know, Doug.
Who wouldn't want this event in their backyard where they could like stay at home and not have to get a hotel?
Exactly.
I could go for that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the city is just brutal to get in and out of. You do not want to go there.
Oh,
it's
understood.
Dangerous and expensive.
Oh. And Barry, I don't think
the city is.
I don't think New York City would be a good place overall, period. Just because of expense, because things are going to be a heck of a lot more expensive than anything else. So, it could be close by some place in Jersey. Could probably find a cheaper place in Jersey. Or
if you have to pay to get in the state and pay to leave, it's not really a... That's just my opinion.
No, I know. That's the funny part about Jersey is that it's free to come in. It costs you to leave.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
There's a reason I run the West Coast and not the East Coast.
I used to go to Atlantic City regularly back in the day. Yeah, I know that. I know that feeling, and yes, I'm okay with leaving Jersey.
Once upon a time in my truck driving career, I was making deliveries inside New York City down on surface streets, and it's not any better when you've got a big truck. People think gross vehicle weight equals right of way. No, it doesn't. Not down there, it doesn't. They just think, oh, look, the lottery's about to hit me. Crunch.
So I figure I
not to mention all the potholes they have in there in that area. Holy crap.
Meanwhile, during Hallmark season,
they're not potholes. They're not potholes, they're cauldron caverns.
Thank you for making that distinction.
Well,
their test bed meant the test bed of your truck.
Pedantry is another service I offer.
Have you
vapor locked there, Paul?
Do we want to go back?
So, Paul, what were we talking about with SFB Universe here?
I was wondering, did we want to do a refresher course on the weapons of the Caligar? And that group?
Sure. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Since we're running out of time now. So
the antimatter cannon is their heavy weapon. And it's more powerful than a disruptor, less powerful than a photon. It's one turn arming, but it's got a 32 impulse delay. And am I still? Can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Or did everybody mute? Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's a bizarre heavy weapon in that the max range for overloads is 6, not 8.
Well, it's again, it's Omega. The whole idea of overload range is different in Omega than it is in Alpha, and which another reason why they shouldn't play against each other. Dig.
So the antimatter cannon is slightly more accurate than a photon, but slightly less accurate than a disruptor. It can arms for 3, overloads for 6, You can hold a standard for one, and you can hold an overload for two. And you can be holding, and you can hold a, you can hold it as a overload. But it is technically a single turn arming weapon. But as I said, there's a 32 impulse delay. So, now the has a special firing mode, which is kind of interesting. And the special firing mode, it takes less power to arm, same amount to hold, and it's an 8 impulse delay, and it does the same damage. You're saying, well, why wouldn't I use that special mode every time? And the reason is that special mode does not damage shields. So, let's say I fire that special mode along with other weapons. The special mode, all the antimatter cannons in the special mode fire first, and let's say it's up against a 20-point shield, and I did 24 points of damage. It does the four. It does 24 minus 20, so four internals, but the shield is left undamaged. And now all the other weapons hit later that impulse, and they hit the shield. So the special mode really doesn't work except against badly damaged or not or a down shield. If somebody's got a down shield, use a special mode.
Isn't that called a caseless?
If you arm it with, it's called caseless. That's the special mode.
Okay.
And if you arm it with as caseless and you want to use it as a standard, you have to discharge the caseless and begin the arming process all over again.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the antimatter cannon. The antimatter cloud generator is it's got a firing arc, and it basically does damage to an entire hex, to everything in.
Everything in the hex. Yes.
Yeah, but it's. Other than at very short ranges, it has very poor accuracy. So at range one, it's to hit numbers on 2d6 is an 11, which is you're almost guaranteed to hit. It cannot fire at range zero, by the way. But at range one, it's to hit number is 11. 2 to 3, it's 9. 4 to 6, it goes down to 7. After that, it really starts to go downhill. The antimatter cloud generator is in some ways like an ESG. It fires from a capacitor. It's a 6-point capacitor. It does double the amount of damage as in the capacitor, so it's not quite as efficient as an ESG.
Mm-hmm.
But it hits everything in the hex. So if you've got a stack of drones coming at you, use that cloud generator and you pick a hex one away from you, you're almost guaranteed to wipe out the whole stack. And I'm not sure, I'd have to double check, but I don't think you have to use the whole capacitor. But I'd have to double check that one.
Me too.
Also not sure where in the firing I think that fires is a direct fire weapon. So if you're firing at that stack of drones at range one and you do roll double box cars and miss the drones, then you don't have another chance, that impulse to fire at the drones again.
Right, and what's this about near
now,
misses?
If it, what's that?
What about near misses? What's that about? Because I see that on the chart.
Oh, the near miss and the miss?
Right. Well, miss is kind of obvious, but what's the difference between a miss and a near miss?
Oh, if it misses, okay. What a near miss is that you roll a die and move the damage hex over by one hex in that direction.
Similar to random displacement.
Mm-hmm.
Random displacement. And a total miss is you roll the dice, move it over, roll the dice again, move it over again. So it can potentially walk two away, or a miss, it could walk back into the same hex that it left and still hit.
All right.
All the chaos.
Yes. Now, if it hits something with shields, the target gets to pick where it hits, and they can spread the damage out among their shield. So if you had a target that had five down shields and one shield still had points left, you could take all the damage against your one shield. So it's really to be most effective against things that don't have shields, like
fighters,
shuttles, and drones. And it's useless against plasma, as most weapons are.
Right.
The micro phasers are just like regular phasers, except it's a hit or miss. It's not a variable amount of damage. I think the average damage from a microphaser at short ranges is a little bit better than a standard alpha phaser. And the
just
phaser
eyeballing
one,
it looks like it.
Out. What's that? Yeah.
Yeah, just eyeballing the table there on. It looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 10 to 15% more powerful than a standard phaser. The phaser 3's guaranteed to kill a Type 1 drone at range 1. Auto hit, and it does 4 points of damage. Range 2, it's guaranteed not to kill a Type 1 drone. But very, very accurate. The phaser, but at longer ranges, it does somewhat less damage. I think was the phaser 1 at range 8 does how much average?
If you're averaging for a regular phaser 1 versus the micro phasers, because range 15.
How much is the
range eight, I think,
is a phaser 1 3.
3-2-1
Yeah,
I think
so
it's 3-2-1 and nothing.
0-0-0 Yeah, so phaser 1 at range 8 is average damage of 1, whereas this one at range 8 is
1.5.
Actually, it does better.
Yeah, it's 1.
Yeah.
It does 3 points of damage, but it only hits half the time.
Right, so 1.5 average.
My bad. These things are more accurate and more powerful than a phaser 1 at all ranges.
Yep, and they're auto, the auto hits out the range, you know, two. They automatically kill, you know, hit. It's 1-6. Just like the microphase.
Five
the,
at range two, six. Six at range one. Yeah, it's definitely more powerful than the phaser one, than alpha phasers. That's why I'm thinking that eight P1s and two P3s are a little bit over the top. Now, the one, and this thing has 40 power. Now, turn mode is D, which doesn't help. The Achilles heel on it is that the antimatter cannons, your heavy weapon,
yeah,
you cannot fire all four of them in your FAR.
Correct. You only can fire three.
Because one is LFL. Yeah. You only get the front hex spine is where you get all four.
Right. If you centerline the person, then you can get all four.
Right. And a lot of the phasers are left side, right side.
Very true.
Your FAR.
Leading micro ones have a 180 arc, but it's not left side, right side. It's FA plus left or right, and then the ones in the after haul are left side, right side.
Looks like the
micro threes also are left side, right side midship.
Right, and the cloud generators are left side, right side.
Oh yeah, Chris. A phaser M1 is a microphaser. Microphaser one.
Yeah, and the cloud generators have a 32 impulse firing delay.
Yeah, like an ESG.
Yes.
Which is,
but if you fire it,
and who are you going to be flying this against, Paul?
That's what I have to figure out.
What are you?
Barry's going to be flying the Caligar. The question is, what will I be flying?
Plasma boat.
But I'm thinking of taking the two of the P1s in the that are one LS and one RS P1 and converting them to P3s.
Mm-hmm. So almost just kind of flip them. Put the
what's that?
Well, I'm looking at it, it's just flip them. What's currently marked P3s, mark them P1s. The ones that mark P1s, mark them as P3s.
That's exactly what I'll do.
Yeah, I said I'll have to figure out what Omega ship I want to fly.
Oh, you want to take an Omega ship?
Yep.
Okay. Let's see what I've got. Ones that I've had a lot of luck with. Peter Bakia really likes the
I know it wasn't the Trobriand. I know that wasn't his favorite. I forget
Trobriand was interesting, but no, there was another one that Peter Bakia really liked.
Yeah, and I know. I forget off the top of my head.
I'm looking for it. What's that?
I agreed. There was one he really liked and was trying his best to kind of balance it.
Alunda.
Yeah.
The Alunda. Yes. And the Alunda was, let's see, do you want me to email that to you? Can you share that? Can people see the screen? Or?
Yes.
All right. Hang on.
Let's see if I...
Paul Goose.
Okay, you have an updated version versus the one that we got from Ken Burnside?
I do have an updated. Well, I have one that I've.
I have the one from Ken Burnside sitting right here with the bielectric bolts, plasma whips, attraction repulsion field tables.
Right. Yeah, I have two versions. Let me see what the dates are on them.
Plasma whip, that's what that is.
View details. The one is. The dates really don't matter.
That's true. Yeah,
we were trying to balance that thing. The Ken Burnside one does have the weapons charts.
Yes.
So let me try to figure out what the difference is. So the one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 biovolts. And the other one.
Yeah. Burnside only has 10 biobolts.
Right. And I had added. Two biobolts in the front. Yeah, I think the Ken Burnside one's probably a better. Because I know that we had tried the one 12 biobolts, and I think Peter Bakke was undefeated in that one.
Okay, so you think.
So I'm thinking it was a little low.
So you think going with the original is best?
I think so.
Okay.
And now, are you familiar with the weapons on that?
Not at the moment, but I can easily read up on it. Definitely. I can.
Yeah, the bio bolts. there's a capacitor on the ship, and this capacitor has no is basically unlimited amount of energy, but I think that an energy allocation or something like that, or at end of turn, half the energy in the capacitor goes away. I think that's what it is. You can fire each firebolt once per turn, and you can use a half point, 1 point, 2 points, or 4 points of energy for each firing. But if you fire as a half point, you can't fire it again that turn. So, but if you use 4 points of energy, it needs a turn to cool down.
Mm-hmm. But if you use two, doesn't need to cool down.
No, it can fire every turn with two.
Okay.
Although two is not really that, it's less accurate than one, and it does slightly more damage, but not much. I mean, look at range 5 to 7. It does 4 versus 3, but it's less accurate and takes twice as much power.
Right. Understood. And definitely putting 4 points of energy looks like it's basically an overload. It's what it is.
Not to mention the fact that the SSD looks like you're one catastrophic shuttle detonation away from splitting your ship in two.
Agreed. Because the shuttle bay right there in the between the two sections.
Now the plasma whips are interesting. I do believe they can damage plasma torpedoes. The bio bolts can. I think the plasma whips can too. I'm not sure. I'd have to double check. The plasma whips take no power to fire. I think there's a 32 impulse firing delay.
Okay.
Now there's a special mode of the plasma whips called a whipcrack torpedo, where you spend a quarter point of reserve energy, and then you can fire a plasma torpedo from the whip launcher, and I think like a 5-point plasma torpedo with a range of like 16 or so, and it doesn't decrease in strength up to its max range. Batteries on this thing are weird. I think they hold up to 5 points of power per beat, but you can't use them all. I think you can only use one battery box per turn.
Yeah.
And I think the batteries are self-recharging, but you only get like 1 point of battery power per turn. The batteries actually, the whole three battery boxes generates 1 point of power per turn. So the ship effectively has 39 power.
Right.
38 if the batteries are full. Now the ARFs are interesting. Attractor, repulsor. And what that does is that if it hits, it takes whatever ship it hits, and it can only be used against ships, it can't be used against anything else. And if you have it in attractor mode, it will pull that ship in 1 hex per turn. It'll make it go closer and closer and closer. And if you fire it in repulsor mode, then it will push the other ship further away 1 hex per turn. And that's pretty it has some pretty good uses. There's also this thing called a PCG plasma cloud generator, which takes a god-awful amount of power and really doesn't do much other than generates a cloud of plasma behind the ship. And it takes a while for the cloud to form, and it does degrade damage. So if you're running away from somebody, you can generate that cloud and makes it hard for them to shoot through it. But I don't think there's any penalties for just flying through it. And once they generate the cloud, it's like the cloud stationary. It doesn't follow the ship. So I'm not sure what the point is.
Yeah, understood. Well, the thing is, it sounds like it's a weapon mainly designed as an escape. You know, so if you're going to be running away from something, to you would deploy that to help in your escape.
Right.
And obviously, in a terminus scenario, there's not much use, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. Given that the limitations on it. Now, I'm going to double check on the rules to see exactly what the limitations are and if it can be of any use or it just should be ignored as a weapon, just a free hit.
Yeah. The other thing that ship has is it's got this god-awful amount of, instead of damage control, it's got a huge amount of what's called healing. And I think it can repair double the number of boxes as healing. So that's huge in that ship can repair 12 boxes over the course of the scenario, generating 6 damage control points per turn.
Wow.
That has, yeah.
I'm definitely going to look that up. That'd be very, very useful.
Now, I don't know why the Ken Burnside one has 4 tractors. That makes no sense. I think when I redid it, I left the 4 tractors in there. Interesting. No, that's not the one I did. You can only recharge the batteries with APR. So it has no reserve warp or impulse.
That's nasty.
Yeah, that's kind of a big handicap right there.
Yeah, it is a huge handicap. But on the other hand, it's got 3 5-point batteries.
True. Yeah, and your version of the ship with the 12 bio bolts has only 2 tractors.
Yes.
What product is this stuff in, or where can somebody find this stuff now, or is this just unpublished hell?
It's actually published. There is the Omega Master Rulebook, which you can purchase on E23.
Yeah, I was looking at that, but it says it doesn't have any SSDs.
Right.
No, it doesn't. The tournament SSDs were created by Ken Burnside, and I think I posted a lot of them on Starfleet Battles Online, so you can look at those ships online. Are they still there, Paul?
Where did you post them?
What's that?
Where did you say you posted them? Because they're definitely part of the online client. That's true.
Yeah.
Outside of the client, I don't think there is any place that's on the web that you can get them.
Right.
Because I just checked on ADB's website, and they don't have anything for an Omega tournament page.
Right. There was list. Do you have all the Omega PDFs, Paul?
If not, I might have them. I think I might have access to your drive. I got a link to your drive.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, did not mean to do that. Oh, well. Okay, there it is. Save my butt. I'm just looking at FedCom. Yeah, because you can get the Omega 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Those products, those will actually have, you know, the actual SSDs. I'm not sure if those SSDs are available on Warehouse 23 or not. Excuse me. There's the master rule book for the Megas. And okay, of course, obviously ADB.
You know, the Federation Commander version of the Omega Playtest Rulebook is only $5 on digital.
Right. The Federation Commander, they only have a few of the Empires, and again, it's playtest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Yeah, and this one's just, this is just the playtest rulebook. Yeah. It doesn't look like
all I'm seeing is the master rulebook and a whole bunch of captain's logs.
Yeah, and the Starfleet Times. If I look for Omega, I see those. But yeah. Doesn't look like it's available as part of an ebook. Obviously, you can get the physical product and they'll have all of the ships. But they won't have the tournament cruisers because the tournament cruisers are something outside of that. And so at the moment, there's no way to get a copy of those short of having Barry send them to you.
You want a copy of them?
I wouldn't mind.
All right. I'll need your email then.
Jeff, send me your email at sfuoncall@gmail.com, and then I'll forward that on to Barry.
You've got it. Yeah, I've sent it to you in the past, but I'll zap you a note real quick.
Okay, yeah. There'll also be a reminder of me to send it to Barry.
or Paul, do you have a copy of all of them?
I've got the original ones. I got a zip of all the original tournament cruisers from Ken Burnside.
Well, that's what I was going to send. Why don't you just send that?
Okay, we'll do. Just send me the reminder, Jeff, and I'll forward it to you. So, gentlemen, with that, I have to close things up because it's already coming up on 11 o'clock. And the only reason I'm even coherent and not really concerned about getting up tomorrow is that I have my work, my day job is closed for the week, so I can sleep in if I wish.
Yay.
I have to go see the doctor tomorrow to get my stitches out, so I have to wake up early.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got another mega meter day tomorrow trying to get to the delivery for this load of onions I've got.
Understood. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I'm waiting for delivery for tomorrow myself. It's coming from Colorado. So.
That's not me.
No, definitely not you. It's a trailer that got shipped from Grand Junction, Colorado. If you go any farther west, you basically you leave the state. You know, it's like, wow. I was originally planning on going and actually picking up the trailer myself, but that was also when it was going to be originally made for like spring, but they actually got to it earlier than I expected. It's like, and I told them, can you push it? And they said, no. It's like, okay. So we'll just have it shipped out then.
I am going to want to get to sleep because I was at work at 5 a.m. this morning.
Understood. Well, Barry, you have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Jeff.
Yeah, good night. Have a good one.
You too. Okay, bye. So actually we got to talk about Starfleet battle stuff this evening. I know you guys were, I'm sure some of you are going, when are they going to stop? When are they going to actually talk about the Starfleet battle stuff? Fast forward. And da-da-da-da, yeah, we're here. So, given that, hope you had enjoy a little bit of Omega talk, and of course, talk about the different conventions. We've got one convention and one gathering, and hopefully you'll be joining us for that SFB big send-off gathering. For not really send-off, SFB will still be around. We'll still play it. Is that it's hard to get a really large group of people to play, because I'm not sure how many of you guys remember that right after Interdom, ADB actually acquired the rights to SFB and actually able to come to Origins. We had huge tournaments. We had over 100 people playing SFB. That was just incredible. It's hard to get people to get together a physical space for 16 player tournament. So we're hoping for like 30 or 40 players to play SFB, which would be fantastic. We could do what they want to do, which is going to be a patrol style tournament. And I got email Dave and said, I'm in. And just hopefully it's not going to be like on the West Coast. That makes things more difficult because Lord knows I hate to fly. Just to let you know. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.